What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show. Hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And we're going to go to Mike in Kentucky. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I think a lot of this student loan stuff is serving as a wonderful distraction from a bunch of dirty tricks that were pulled on people in programs that may have started with Obama or even before. There's some Facebook groups, and it's hard to estimate how many people are affected by this because, like a lot of loans do, the servicer will shuffle, and the debtor or the borrower won't necessarily have access to their records. But from what I'm hearing, there's situations where people were lured into taking out loans on the idea that they would be forgiven to get that master's degree or something like that if they worked 10 years in a high-need situation, like there's a shortage of doctors in impoverished areas of the countries or certain types of teachers and you know, that kind of thing. They had programs, and I know one of which started during Obama. It said if you took, you know, you take out this loan after this date, then it will be eligible to be forgiven after 120 payments. Well, one of the things that they were doing was they were taking out the payments that would be eligible a penny short, mm-hmm. and or a day late, so it didn't count toward that 120 payments. You know, years into the Trump administration, the Secretary of Education got sued, and the media jumped on that. Oh, Trump's getting sued again. But he inherited the dirty tricks that were being pulled. And one particular case I know of that involved a similar loan program was actually dispersed on like the 31st of October instead of the 1st of November, or it was something like that, August the 31st instead of September the 1st. And that made that loan ineligible. And they paid on it and paid on it thinking they were going to get forgiveness. And when they went to go find out about it, nobody could tell them why was that loan dispersed a day early to make it ineligible for that. So the student loan frauds are many and varied. But, you know, the class action lawsuits that are probably in the works for people that are in some of these different pigeonhole frauds and dirty tricks, this whole Biden thing has served as a wonderful distraction so the news media doesn't cover any of that. It's been about 10 years ago that the state university system in New York, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, they got actually caught. You may remember this. It might have been on your webpage where I read it. They got caught steering the students toward loans that they got the best kickback from but wasn't necessarily the best financial deal for the students.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Okay, that's it. So this has been a cultural issue in the student loan system, and I have to wonder if the long plan here, the long game, I know somebody back in 2007 or so, they got a law degree the year before, and they were a non-traditional student, but this was like the year before, like 2 years in a row, they announced that there was going to be more law students graduating from law school than practicing lawyers. So there was a glut of lawyers, and they were talking about shutting down the law schools, you know, to prevent more lawyer people getting law degrees. And so I have to wonder if the long game here is to try to culturally social engineer the American idea away, Americans from pushing their kids to go to college and go more toward trades and technical schools. Stuff like
well,
that.
You know, college used to be about higher education, and these days it's more of a fashion statement, especially for the liberals. And you're right. We are an overeducated country, and a lot of people who are out there with advanced degrees are not able to find employment that utilizes their skills. And, you know, we have PhDs that are, you know, slinging hash in restaurants, and it's a bit of a disgrace here. And it's not a case of having fewer educated people. It's a case of rebuilding our industry and technological base rather than sending all these jobs to other countries.
When I was in school, the idea was, and they converted a lot of colleges, local colleges, to universities. You're supposed to go there and get a more well-rounded education than you would from just, you know, going to a college for a particular area of concentration, you know.
Yes.
That was the whole concept of a university, to expand your knowledge base in every direction. Of course, they have a lot of, you in order to get your degree, you had to take all these classes that a lot of people griped about being irrelevant, but that was the concept. But of what practical use that might be, unless you're going to go beyond, you know, your degree and come back and get a different degree or something later on, or get a doctorate, it becomes a little, I think that's why a lot of people...
Well, it's job creation for our previous college graduates who got degrees in really arcane subjects like art history major and so forth and so on. And the university likes to take care of their own. And so a lot of these classes kids are forced to take is really about just providing employment for, favored graduates.
Well, the other story today that came out, and I found it oddly in my LinkedIn, was that Biden's being sued by, it's on the Epoch Times, but six states are suing President Biden over the education and his education secretary, asserting that
Arizona just signed on.
Thousands of dollars in student loan debt is illegal.
Yes.
So that'd be seven states now. But, again, this is a wonderful distraction from all these dirty tricks that are pulled on these youngsters since at least the Obama administration, and maybe before, you know, that they thought they would get these loans forgiven if they worked in special needs areas.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought I'd add that in there. People could dig and find it, but it's hard to find.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for the phone call, and we are going to go to James in Tokyo. Thank you for waiting. James, what's on your mind today?
Well, first, what's on my mind, Michael, is how did the eye operation go?
It went very, very well. If you're watching on TV, you probably noticed that the right lens for my eyeglasses is now gone. And, it went very smoothly. And in a couple of weeks, they're going to do the other eye. And
all right.
So, yeah, it went well.
I'm happy to hear that. How many fingers do I have up, Michael?
Three.
Absolutely correct. But I think that lovely harp playing angel Claire is going to be very disappointed with you that you're not going to be a pirate this Halloween. But if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it, Michael.
Well, I did the pirate two Halloweens ago, so I got to come up with something, this time. I thought about maybe, putting a suit on with the collar up over my head and then a balloon above that and go as Joe Biden.
Hey, anyway, I'm happy you're okay. And I'm also happy Tom's okay.
Yeah.
I just got a message from a friend of mine in South Florida. He lives in Coral Springs, about an hour north of Tom, and he said it wasn't that bad. And he's a very passionate guy. I know I joke around about him a lot, but he's very passionate about... I joke around about him because I really like his calls, and he's very passionate about immigration and... I just think sometimes he wastes it because I don't think that you can really solve immigration in America. No one has the ball to do it. I mean, in Japan, if you're an illegal, you go to jail, you get deported, and then you can never come back in the country. And if you're a business owner...
Sounds like a workable solution to me.
Yeah, if you're a business owner who hires an illegal, you could possibly go to jail, but a huge fine, like over 10 grand, and...
Well, we actually have laws like that in this country. It's called Title VIII, but nobody's enforcing it.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I think that's why, Tom is, wasting a lot of energy because the Democrats and the Republicans just aren't enforcing laws that already exist. And, Tom, I want to say to you, I heard about your wife and stuff like that, and I'm very sorry to hear that. And, I hope, things work out. I really hope your health insurance is good over there. I'm retired, and I'm pretty lucky. I'm only paying less than $200 for an entire year for health and dental, and if there's any major surgery, less than $500 if I share a room with somebody. But I just really hope the best for you, Tom, for you and your wife. But, Mike, I called to ask you about the Nord Stream. I wanted to know, what do you think were the reasons for the sabotage, and what do you think were the repercussions? And then I'd like to give you my opinion.
Well, I am in the camp that says the United States blew up the pipelines because Russia was enticing Europe away from the United States with the promise of renewed energy flow. And blowing up the pipelines means that Russia has lost that bargaining chip. And again, you know, cui bono, it was the U.S. who did it. The repercussions are that the people of Europe know what happened and know who did it, and they are not at all going to be sympathetic to any of their governments moving closer to the United States. In fact, I think in the long run, blowing up the pipelines have made the situation worse.
So what do you think then if the people are upset? What will they do, and what do you think Russia will do having their infrastructure, well, I guess maybe half of their infrastructure they invested, you know, with Germany as well, but what do you think the repercussions will be from the Europeans and from Russia?
I think the European people, when they get cold and hungry enough, are going to turn on their government. You know, there are already massive protests all over Europe. And as far as Russia is concerned, the loss of the Nord Stream was a major loss in the infrastructure and the European market, you know, which the U.S. is exploiting that situation by trying to get in there and say, you know, we'll sell you oil and gas. It's going to cost a little more, but at least you'll be warm this winter. But Russia is selling their oil and gas to other countries, so it's not like they're going to be harmed by it. The ruble is, in fact, gaining in value over the U.S. dollar right now.
Yeah, I actually think, the ruble is gaining because I think natural gas is really going to spike after the election. And I basically think that, yeah, the U.S. did it too. Well, the same reasons as you, but in addition, I think that they wanted to take down Germany. So I think
that's a possibility. Germany, once again, is a manufacturing superpower that the U.S. and U.K. cannot compete with. And, you know, if you go back, that was one of the key agendas for both World War One and World War Two was to remove Germany's manufacturing as a competitor.
And, yeah, you remove Germany, and then there's never any kind of superpower with Germany, you know, making a friendship with Russia. And America is, you know, is a king again, such as the dollar is a king again. And that was my opinion on that. And just before I go, I wanted to say, you know, my whole perspective about Putin and the whole situation in Ukraine has totally changed since I've been going out with the Ukrainian refugee. Michael, if my Ukrainian girlfriend had a huge Azov Nazi tattoo on her back, I would have told her it's the most beautiful tattoo I've ever seen and that I'm a Nazi too. Anyway,
right, well,
I'm happy your eye went well. You have a good day, Mike. Later,
all
man.
Right, same to you. Thank you very much for the phone call. We have open lines now, 512-248-8252. Sebastian, call back because some listeners want to hear what you have to say here. Meanwhile, we're going to go to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. Happy Friday.
Same to you.
You're exactly correct on the motives for blowing up the pipeline to burn down that bridge back to Russian energy. Everybody knows who did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes back to the perpetrators are never punished for their crimes, for their false flags. You can go to Oklahoma City, the Bali bombing, the USS Cole, and, of course, 9/11. And there's a lot more, probably some that we're not really aware of. They got away with them.
Probably.
Yeah. Criminals don't stop if they're not stopped. And this is a criminal regime, I hate to say it. And I used to tear up at the Star Spangled Banner, you know? But a lot of pride, especially in, like, the Olympics. And when I got back from the first Gulf War, we had a big parade over in Raleigh and 82nd Airborne. And it's just the country meant a lot to me. But now it's fraudulent. With a fraudulent president. And, you know, they want to call it a sham referendum in the Ukraine. This is a sham election we had in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I suppose that's how they're going to maintain control over the rest of the European Union. I mean, Italy just had an election. It was, it seemed to be legit. And von der Leyen, she's all up in arms over it. It's really something else. I can't believe I'm living here.
Yeah, the Italian election, you know, basically signaled a European shift back to conservatism, and it's got all the liberals worried that this might be the start of a trend.
Right. You know, the only politician from the United States side that I heard of really come out with a little bit of truth was Trump. He put out on Truth Social that, you know, with Biden trying to start World War III here, he basically, you know, is saying that the United States did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we are. Before I go, you know, over on RT, they showed the governors or the prime ministers, whatever you want to call them, of the breakaway provinces. They're all locking hands with Putin. They're all men in business suits.
Yep.
They look respectable. You know, if you would take a gathering of Western politicians like that, it looked like the sales force down at the local Macy's. You know, a bunch of guys in tight pants and flip haircuts and you know, with problem glasses and a bunch of women, you know, that are power women. It's just absurd. I don't know, man. And I don't know what else to say. You got another caller. Go ahead and take them. I just want to wish you a good weekend. And I guess I'll talk to you again Monday.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot here, and we're going to go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
You know, Mike, before you pointed out that your glasses was missing one lens, I was wondering, like, how can it be so different? Because I'm looking at you. So can you actually see in your eyes in the mirror that one shinier than the other?
Yeah, and I noticed it with Claire as well. You know,
yep.
There's a definite glint that comes off the artificial lens.
Yeah. So how did it work great? Or?
Oh yeah.
You
know,
eye
now
surgery.
That the swelling has gone down, I mean, I can see. They selected a lens for distance. I'm probably going to need some kind of reading glasses for close up work. Although at the moment, you know, I'm perfectly able to work with this computer screen. So I'm very, very happy with how this turned out, and I can't wait to get the other one done so I can throw these glasses away.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine has
the only glasses I'll be wearing are going to be these Porsche sunglasses I've been saving for the occasion.
So not only does everything look better, but when you look in the mirror, you can actually see that your eye is brighter.
Well, it's reflecting more light, but my eyes are naturally very dark. I've got very dark brown eyes here.
When I say brighter, I mean it's not like cloudy.
Oh, no, I definitely noticed that. I also, in the eye that I had the surgery on, I'm seeing the blue end of the spectrum much more because apparently these cataracts were very yellow. And so, yeah, all in all, it's been a very, very good thing. And the only remaining issue is the eye doctor is pushing for what's called a toric lens for the left eye, but that's going to cost another $1,300. And you know me, I'm stingy and I don't have a lot of money, but we're probably going to go. Yeah, probably going
to go
for it. But I'm very happy with the result on the right eye.
That's like... I mean, they're your eyes, right? You're going to have them for the rest of your life. It's like cheaping out on a bed. Why would you want to do that? It's the most important thing that people do in their lives is to actually sleep. You know, don't waste your money on buying cheap beds and keep doing it over and over again. Buy good ones. You know, buy good everything.
Well, that's true for pretty much everything. If you buy the cheap appliance, it's going to wear out in a couple of years, and you got to buy another one and another one. And Claire and I are believers. We'll spend the money to get quality, and then we don't have to throw things away. And, you know, that's even better for the environment.
Yeah, exactly. An Easy Does It can opener made in the United States. If I'm not mistaken, they got a 25-year warranty.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're made in like Wisconsin or something like that, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember.
Al, I got to put you on hold. Got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
In the night, without a fight, you can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here, and we do have open lines right now, 512-248-8252, and we're finishing up with Al in Canada. And Al, you had one more thing I think you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, I actually called about energy abundance or renewable energy, right?
Yes.
One of the things, you know, that people have to understand is when you're using rechargeable batteries, one of the problems that is inherent with that sort of system is everything's always made as cheap as possible. You know, the batteries are undersized. They can only be recharged a certain number of times.
Yes.
You know, it's not endless, right? So
yes.
You always want to... You remember back in the olden days, Mike, when everything was over-engineered?
Oh, yeah. That was kind of the attitude coming out of World War II, is everything had to be rugged and military capable. And then over the years, value engineering and planned obsolescence came to be the business models.
Well, yeah, because there are more and more businesses competing against you. Well, you know how it works. Capitalism is what it is. So when I came up with that idea of having a universal size for these batteries, I envisioned, of course, solar panels and a windmill, you know, at these charging stations. But something that you said earlier made my brain tickle even more. You said PACs, as if there were more than one.
Well, you know, for the larger vehicles like the trucks and whatnot, you're going to need more battery power. But if it's a single standardized size, you know, if you have a small car, it's got one pack in it. If you have the equivalent of an SUV, it might have two. For the trucks, could be three or four. But they're all the same size and hold the same charge. And, you know, you just keep on... it's going to make the service station issue a lot more efficient than it is now.
Well, that's the whole idea behind that was you don't buy the battery because the batteries are expensive.
Yes, they are.
And here's the thing. Now, you think about it, and, you know, I've been doing the math. If I were to start my own battery farm, right?
Yes.
Obviously, you'd want to use renewable energy as much as possible, but you're going to be tapped in. You're going to be tapped in, and once in a while, it's going to happen. You know, there's going to be some kind of fossil fuel burned to, the horrors to charge these batteries. But here's the thing. You don't pay for the batteries. You're just paying for the energy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, correct.
And if a battery can have... will tolerate 200 charges. Well, let's make this simple, right? You know where I'm going with this. If a battery can tolerate 100 charges and that battery costs $7,000, how much do you have to charge someone for a fully charged battery in order to break even?
Well, right? that's going to come down to the cost of the actual electricity itself plus the amortization of the cost of the battery.
Yes. So... like, I've worked it out a couple of different ways, and it's still cheaper than fossil fuels. Not to mention, there are less moving parts to break down.
Well, that's definitely true. That's one of the advantages.
And hopefully, everything that's inside of that battery can be recycled. Like,
lithium batteries can be recycled. It's not 100% recyclable, but a significant amount of it. It is energy intensive to do that, but it definitely can be done here. And you know, like I said, I like the idea of electric cars. When I win the Powerball, I'm buying a Tesla.
Which one?
I don't know. Whatever the big one
expensive?
Is.
Most expensive?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fastest, right?
Well, I'm kind of out of my speed phase. You know, I'm in my old age, I've become a rather pokey, safety-conscious kind of driver.
Yeah, but that's because you can hear what you're doing. What if you can? And all of a sudden, you're doing a 150, and hey, I can't even hear the engine.
Well, you know, I'm already in the habit of using the cruise control. To keep my speed, because when we first got the Hyundai, it was so much livelier than the Hyundai, I caught myself speeding a lot, and so I just got into the habit of using the cruise control.
Yeah, and there are a lot of cops in the United States that are on the highways and the roads looking for people to speed.
Yeah,
they make all their money.
A generation. In fact, over in Illinois, there was an interesting story. They used to have a 10-mile grace window over the speed limit. If the speed limit was 50 and you were doing like 58, they'd let you go. They just lowered that to a 5-mile threshold in order to increase speeding tickets.
There you go. It's all about the revenue.
Yep.
The Benjamins. Thanks a lot for your time, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you know, here in this part of Indiana, the cops are really cool, and we get along with them just great. All right. We got to take another break for commercials. We've got callers waiting on the line, 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way, can't draw no way.
And welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to John in Colorado. John, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike, good afternoon. How you doing? Glad to
I'm doing fine.
Surgery went by good.
Yeah, it did. I'm very happy with the results so far. Say again?
Did you get that kaleidoscopic effect when they were putting the new lens in?
Well, there was a lot of light and color going on, and, you know, they had me on this relaxant, and so I actually don't remember a lot of what happened, during the actual surgery, and I was never unconscious that I'm aware of.
That's good. No, I just said when I had it, you get that, like, you're looking at through a kaleidoscope, you know, when they're putting the lens in the one eye to be done. It was just funny, but it was just kind of interesting and listening to the background noise, the doctor and the assistant. Anyway,
yeah.
Real quick, just going back to what Alan Canada said about the. You talk about the batteries and that. I always thought it's interesting, you know, number one, from long distance, how is it going to work? You know, keeping it charged up. And, I think the biggest, if they're going to do that, at least start with, you know, like in town. you know, you get around to do things, but I think it's very difficult when you get out on the road for a different, even though you get charging, unless you could just swap batteries real quick. But,
well, I think that's going to be the next phase. I mean, it strikes me as inevitable that there will be swappable batteries.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it could be possible. How long in the future will that take? You're right. I'm not sure, but at least that's interesting how that's going to work. But we'll see what happens. I just know that. The other thing, too, was, and it's been talked about way back, they talk about, you know, one of the things going to bear is lithium, and they're having this, you know, possible problem where some of these countries like South America, where it comes from in quantities, and they've been having political upheaval, whether it's the U.S. or the oil companies, you know, throwing monkey wrenches and all that to kind of hold all that stuff up to see if they'll get enough of it. But we'll see what happens. If it does, you know, like you said, I don't know if I'm ready to buy an electric car. I wouldn't buy a Tesla right now. I don't need something like that because of the money. Like I said, unless I got thrown the lottery win or something. Maybe
I qualified it with that. I said if I hit the Powerball, you know, I'm going to get a Tesla. Probably a few other toys as well.
Whatever it does, if it happens, let it happen. Going to Ukraine, what they talked about, this, the whole thing about they're talking about, you hear someone on the left, some of this, in the last few weeks, I was on the road and listening to this and some of the stuff where they're saying, Ukraine, they've been winning hand over fist over Russia, now all of a sudden they're going after territory and all that. First, I think, you know, that's a joke, usual. And it's still where it is. The thing when the last week, Putin was going to call up 300,000 volunteers. And I said, that sounds right. You know, they're trying to defend the country in case NATO wants to go.
Well, Belarus is going to send 100,000 in to help protect those new Russian provinces, I guess you would call them.
I'm sorry, who said that?
Belarus.
That's within the thing. But yeah, you don't know what all the people they've got in the Russian former republics are going to side with the Soviet Union, Russia. I think it's fine. You know, like I said, they're just protecting their own areas in that. But I don't know whether, like I said, you're only getting, you know, liberal stuff mostly. I know I've read in American Free Press, they had an article, I guess a month or two ago, about they've got on the ground reports from journalists who looking both ways, but you're getting most of the stuff, the correct stuff on their end. They're seeing it from what's happening down there, not just what somebody is telling the liberals, the media is telling you here's what's going on. And I've never believed that from the start. So thank you, like I said, for like American Free Press, the Barnes Review and all that kind of stuff. And you guys too.
Thank you.
Yeah. But the hurricane. That's been an interesting topic. I hear, you know, I'm listening to the last couple of days, Tom in Florida and some of the people down there that, you know, they dodged a bullet, but they know what's going on. Like I said, what happened to Fort Myers area, you know, they just about wiped it out. I was looking on CNN on the local TV here and just, you know, what, you know, some of the damage and what they were showing, I guess the beaches down there, the beach you got, but right. Well, they didn't show the beach. Well, there's nothing to look at, but they're showing all of these vehicles, mostly yachts and all that, that were blown out of the water. Funny thing is, it doesn't look like they're destroyed. They may be very damaged, whether they can be fixed or not. But, you know, they're sitting outside on top of things and, you know, out of the water on that. Okay, that's fine. But the way you hear it from it, you think they're strewn wreckage in pieces all over the place. Now, maybe there is. They haven't shown any of that, but all the destroy of the buildings. Like I said, that's just Fort Myers. Now, Tampa got dodged a bullet, and I guess a lot
yes.
of them on the east side. And now the storm's blowing out to sea. We're starting to ramp up and go up to Georgia and the Carolinas. you know.
Well, it's hitting South Carolina right now. It just moved on shore. It's down to a Category 1 hurricane, but they are concerned about storm surge along the coasts of both Carolinas and Georgia, and they're predicting a lot of inland flooding.
Yeah. And I know, not sure how far into it will go. Sometimes it's gone way inland, farther than the Carolinas. And the next day with Tennessee, some of that where they get heavy rain. And why are people still living there? I said, well, they've been doing that for generations, and they understand. They've seen stuff hitting that.
Yeah. If you're going to live in Florida, you're going to deal with hurricanes. If you're going to live in Southern California, you got to live with the earthquakes. If you live in Hawaii, you've got to live with the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the tsunamis. It's just there's a trade-off there.
Yeah, like I said, these people have been living here. You know, what I'm hearing from people locally says, well, you're not living there. And these people, well, they've been doing it. They've chose to do it. Well, they have to evacuate for a while and come back. And if they got to rebuild something or whatever, that's their choice. That's where they wanted to be. And they're everywhere. Like I said, all these other places, you know, California, the fires, earthquakes, slides, and all that, or anything. But yeah, it's interesting to listen to feedback and listen to what you get on the other end from some people who actually live there. I like the call-ins and all that. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Anyway, you and Claire have a nice weekend and take care. And we're looking forward to the next time on. When are you going to do the next one in a month? Your other eye?
It's October 11th is the next surgery, and then there's the next day I got to go back in to make sure it all took care. So it's going to be October 11th and 12th is they do the left eye.
Well, good. Good luck, and I think probably just like the other one, next thing you know, you're no glasses.
I'm definitely not going to be as nervous the next time as I was the first time. But, like I said, it's worked out extraordinarily well.
Okay, Mike. Have a good one. Take care now.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to go to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike. Good day. Have a great weekend. Mike, it's on my mind. First off, thanks to James. Mike, if I hit the Powerball or even though I hit the Lotto, I'm going to take a bunch of RBN listeners and you, and we're all going to go to Japan. We're going to go to Tokyo. And after Tokyo, we might hit Sweden. After Sweden, I would like to go to a couple other countries. I would like to go to Italy for sure, the Roman Colosseum. And, they'll have like a theme of the gladiators. You know, the old gladiators. That'd be kind of cool. And we could call you, what was your name? Yesterday, Mike, you said you want me to call you.
I was joking. I didn't mean it. And let that kind of fade away.
No, well, it was a good thing, Mike. It was a good thing. It was Supremo. That was it. Okay, anyway.
Supremo, Mike, yes.
Here's what I want to say, Mike, and I want to get to going on this. And into that last caller, too. I'll get to him in a sec. But, Mike, first off, let's talk about these electric cars, and then we'll go to Vladimir Putin. But let's talk about the electric cars, Mike. And there's something you have to remember, too, Mike, that you're not bringing up on your show. There's a place in Yellowstone called the Cordera. That's the worst scenario can ever happen in the world, if that thing were to ever erupt. If that were to erupt, the whole world would be over, pretty much. Okay? California has an earthquake. The San Andreas Fault blows. It's pretty much over for the United States. Florida only has hurricanes, Mike. But these electric cars are nonsense, Mike, and I'll tell you why. And all of your callers say, no, Mike. Right now, what are these electric cars doing in Fort Myers and Naples and Tampa? You couldn't use if there's electric grid goes down, what good are electric cars, Mike? You can never get rid of the combustion engine. It's insanity to try to even think that. This is all a ploy for global warming my rear end. There was a global warming in 1935, Mike, and all these other years in the 60s where nobody was screaming global warming. Okay? Mike, this is all a ploy. You're not going to get rid of combustion engine because let me tell you, Mike, if the Cordero ever blew, everybody would be immobile. Only the military probably would have gasoline engines, diesel trucks. So this is all a scam to try to take away the combustion engine. There's no way. These cars could not even handle the puddles of water in Tampa or in Fort Myers or Naples or Sanibel Island. If they're electric, if they're Tesla cars, they would be shot. Totally, they'd short circuit. Same would happen in California. If the Cordero in Yellowstone ever blows, the whole thing's over with anyway. Now, So electric cars are nonsense or a joke. We got to get around. They got diesel engines right now can get 80 miles to the gallon, Mike. They got gasoline engines can probably get 200 miles to the gallon. They don't need it. We got enough natural gas. We got all these other devices of hydrogen. You can even start using cars that are made out of hydrogen. What are water in them? Believe it or not, they even have that. This electrical car.
Yeah, but those are not very efficient, you know, because it takes a lot more energy to run the electrolysis to separate the hydrogen from the water molecule than you'll get back by burning the hydrogen.
Yeah, well, Mike, you know, electric cars are not practical. These electric cars are not practical. How are they practical, Mike? You got to recycle the batteries. They're going to be billions of pounds of batteries and giant mounds of trash. You're not going to recycle those batteries, and if you do, the Chinese are going to have a monopoly on the whole thing. But, Mike, here's what I really called. You know, that's one thing. I had to get that off my chest. And, like, again, I say thank you to James for what he said, and I just heard it. I had to replay it. And thank you for Sebastian. I hope he calls in. And James from New York. I like to hear some great calls, Miles and Marco. We need great calls. Keep calling in, RBN, especially your show. Like I said, you got definitely the best audience, without question, and most intelligent. You're in Farron. I love Farron's show too. I won't deny that. Farron's show is amazing. But here's what I got to say, Mike. Putin. I don't know if you saw the news today, but Putin, Mike, is telling Biden. He's telling everybody in the West, you people are evil. You're demonic. He's using the word demonic.
Yes.
What he's starting to say, Mike. Vladimir Putin said this today. You know, the West is demonic, and they're being run by demonic forces. And I don't know what this guy's going after, but Mike, he's talking about. Abortion is not allowed in Russia. Like he's telling the Russian women to have babies. Okay, so you got to give Putin credit for that. He's basically saying we don't want LGBTQ in Russia. We're not promoting that here. They're not promoting that on their news media and their TV shows to have a bunch of LGBTQ in Russia. So right there, Mike, he's got almost a checkmate on us, because right now our country's going so woke, so leftist that Putin is in the right. And if you look at God, Mike. I don't know how you believe, or if you're a God-fearing man, but I am, and I can tell you, he's God. That's when God really is saying, "Hey, no, you're a peon, Mike." These people want wokeism. They're all this filthy nonsense they're promoting on TV. Murders everywhere, Mike. We just had three shootings here yesterday in South Florida. One guy got murdered right there in the checkout lane at Walmart. I mean, this is unbelievable what's going on, Mike, and this is going nationwide. Did you see? Mike, let me ask a question. What's going on all these blonde women getting murdered? A bunch of blonde women I noticed in the last 6 months have been murdered. Kidnapped, murdered, shot, stabbed. What the hell is going on with that? And you don't see white people demanding burning and rioting in the cities. You don't see a billionaire like a right-wing billionaire promoting a bunch of white guys to go out like George Soros is doing with Antifa. Black Lives Matter. Come on, Mike. And we heard about George Floyd. George Floyd put a gun to his girlfriend's stomach with a baby in it.
Yes, I know.
They're martyring this guy. I mean, what is going on here?
Are
getting murdered, and all these white women are getting murdered. And you know, Mike, one of your hosts on RBN, he had a good point. 56% of all women in the United States will vote for Biden over Trump in the next election. What is that all about? What is wrong with these women? They've been brainwashed since they were in kindergarten. And by the word, the name kindergarten is a German word. Our country is one vote away from speaking German. I hope you know that, Mike. The word kindergarten and all the school system in the United States when this country was first founded was set up by Germans, basically. Not even
English.
Yeah,
it's the Prussian model. They call it the Prussian model.
That's correct. So, you know, that's another thing a lot of people don't know. But, Mike, here, I want to go back to this now. I want to go back to Putin. And Putin is basically threatening nuclear war. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, Mike, but when you got a guy, as an example, like Walt Disney, who created a theme park and he made cartoons, and he was a Christian man, Mike. Walt Disney never dreamt in his wildest dreams before he passed away that a whole industry of his was going to be taken over by a bunch of leftist woke weirdos. He never expected that.
I don't think any of us expected it.
And, Mike, I got a little information about to tell you about Fort Myers and all your listening audience. Mike, this is something very intriguing to me. In Fort Myers, they have a museum called the Henry Ford Museum. And in that museum, they have Harvey Firestone and Thomas Alva Edison and there's another gentleman. Henry Ford, Harvey Firestone, and Thomas Alva Edison. They were all great friends. They all lived in Fort Myers. I don't know if you know that, Mike.
Okay.
They all lived together. They lived right across the street from each other. They had mansions there. Thomas Edison has a museum there. And in the museum, Mike, they have light bulbs that are still burning to this day that he made back in the 1900s. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you know
that. Well, you know, there's this fire station out in California that's got a light bulb that's been burning for over 100 years or darn close to it.
That's correct. Harvey Firestone.
No, light bulbs, tungsten light bulbs are designed to fail after 1,000 hours so that you go out and you buy new ones. And the same thing was done with the CFCs. They were designed to fail after a certain amount of time. And, you know, the LEDs are promising these very, very long lifespans. But the power supplies, the ballast, the transformers that run those LEDs, those fail pretty quick.
Yes, Mike. You know, in the museum in Fort Myers, where Harvey Firestone and Thomas Alva Edison and Ford were living, because that's where they lived part of the year. And in the museum, I hope it's still intact. Mike, they have the most unbelievable trees in front of that museum. They have these banyan trees. These things are incredibly beautiful. And
we had a lot of banyan trees in Hawaii.
I hope Fort Myers didn't. I hope that those trees are still standing in front of that museum, because they were actually gorgeous. And it was a beautiful scene. And actually had a beautiful setup there on Fort Myers Edison. But, Mike, Harvey Firestone, I don't know if you know this, but he, in his paperwork, he said that he made tires that could last a million miles. Over a million miles. Did you know that, Mike, in his archival?
Yeah, absolutely. And, the business model is make products that wear out so that people have to buy them over and over again. There was actually a company here in the U.S. That tried to market a light bulb designed to last for years, and the retailers wouldn't buy them. Because the retailers make more money if you go back to buy a new light bulb every 1,000 hours of use. And that's kind of what's driving it. Nobody wants a product that's going to last forever because it's bad for business. Anyway, listen, Tom, we're getting close to the end of the show here, and I got a bunch of callers I need to get to. We're skipping our last commercial break. And Al in Canada called back on in. Apparently he's got one more comment. So, Al, take it away.
Thanks for taking me back. Like, you know, Tom called in and basically slandered the whole electric vehicle thing. How do you say this nicely, Mike? There's more than one way to skin a cat, right?
Yes.
And it's not like an ideal. This is not about who's right or wrong. It's about what's best, and that's the problem. There's a big difference between political science and actual science.
Yes, there is.
It's huge. First of all, you can't memorize real science. It's something to be discovered, and it's something to be explored. If you want to memorize stuff, just look at people and associate a name with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, political science is just nonsense. It's like a BA. I was told in grade six, my shop class, the teacher said, if you want to have a BA in political science, it's going to be bugger all.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. Anyway, so that's that. Anyway, that's all I got to say, Mike. I appreciate you taking my call again. Thank you very much.
All right,
electric cars are coming, man. You're going to drive one.
It's a brand new technology. I mean, look at the original Model T Ford versus the cars that we have today, like the Bugattis, and you will see how much room there is for growth and improvement in the electric vehicles. I do think it is going to be the wave of the future once they solve getting a clean source of electricity to power it all. All right, thank you for the call. We're going to go to Charlie in Florida. Charlie, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. I just am calling in. I don't know if anybody has taken the time to listen to Putin's speech up there when he was talking about admitting the countries, you know, are the the areas there in the Ukraine, the Donbass, Zaporozhye, Kherson, and the Lugansk areas.
Yes.
But it was really quite moving. He even referenced Jesus in that statement. He was talking about, he said that, and Jesus says that you will know them by their actions, you know, or
yes,
by their fruits. I don't know the exact line in the Bible, but he referenced Jesus in that speech in front of the entire Russian country, you know, and for the rest of the world.
Yes.
And everybody, you know, I'm surprised no one, you know, hardly anybody has put this, I couldn't find it. Now you can find the speech a little easier, but I searched all morning long trying to find this speech, and I could not find it hardly anywhere. We're living in a dark age. Our media is so controlled, and this Biden administration, or whatever you want to call them, these rats have got so much control over the rest of the world that you can't hardly dig up the truth anymore. It's getting to where it's almost impossible to find anything out about anything going on. A speech like that should have been carried live by every major news producer.
No,
in the world.
You know, that's not a speech that makes the U.S. look very good. In fact, Putin basically, you know, called the U.S. out for its recent behavior, and, you know, the government doesn't want the American people thinking in those terms, because if they're leading us into a world war, they've got to convince every American that this is the wonderful thing to do. Anyway, Charlie, we are almost at the end of the show, and I want to get one more call in, so we're going to go to Scotty in New York. Hello, Scotty. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I can't really cover it in a minute and a half. However, none of you have any business talking about the problem unless you know how we got to where we are now in order to move on. You have to see the movie, Who Killed the Electric Car? There's several battery technologies discussed in that, plus there's another battery technology from 125 years ago. You also must know how you're talking about science. There's a video by Mirhan Keshi. It's a 12-part series called Understanding Plasma Science. You must watch at least the first one before anybody talks about a solution with it. You have to know how things work. And I did mention to you, it was like a day before your wife got injured, the GEAT system, Paul Pantone, released it to the world
that, yes,
for free. You must understand how that works before you even open your mouth about a solution for electric cars. Everyone that I'm listening to, except the one guy, you must see these moves. Try to find Understanding Plasma Science, Mirhan Keshi. Just at least watch the first one to understand how things work. And Who Killed the Electric Car? It's free. It's way, way deep in the search.
Okay, Scotty, I hate to do this.
Peace.
We are at the
peace,
end of the
brother.
Show. Music is playing. Thank you very much for the phone call. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. V from the Red Pill Hardcore is taking the microphone with the guest, Henrik. And please spread the word of publicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. And right now, What Really Happened could use just a little bit of help here. We're a little tight at the end of the month here. So we'll be back. Have a good weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.